Tonight, to share their experience, strength, and hope with steps 1, 2, and 3, we have Suzanne.
Hi, everyone. I'm Suzanne. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Suzanne.
That moment of silence is like my favorite part of this meeting. There used to be a time where I couldn't stay still for 3 seconds, let alone anything like 5 minutes or 20 or an hour. And today I can do that as a result of going through this process. I'm not a big fan of getting up here and speaking, but I never say no, and it's an opportunity to be useful, and I was taught to be happy, joyous, and free, and to maintain that, be useful anytime, anywhere. So, bear with me while I warm up. I love AA. I always say I'm a very satisfied customer of AA. I've been coming around to AA since I was 22 years old. A lot older now. I never quit coming to AA. I kind of saw somewhere that the answer was here. I saw people who were smiling and who were at ease. I saw people who had something that I wanted when I was living in the alcoholic life. So I kept coming. And I'm grateful for that because, when I finally was ready, when I was finally done, when I was finally willing to listen and take some direction, I too got the gifts that I see in others' eyes in this room, in these rooms. This room in no way is intimidating to me. I started coming to Primary Purpose because when I finally learned what the solution was, it was very difficult for me to find places where people were talking about it. I spent a lot of years in AA, and I spent a lot of years suffering in AA. When I found this group, you've seen me every Tuesday since, pretty much. I always come. I wish I could come Thursdays also. I can squeeze it in sometimes, but it doesn't always work out. So the people here are talking about the solution, and that's what I'm going to talk about also. I will let you know that I qualified to be here. Hey, my little sister. I certainly qualify to be here. I'm first and foremost an alcoholic, but I also did lots of other substances when I was out there using. Before I knew what I suffered from, I didn't realize that all the things I used to feed my ism, my alcoholism, all those things. Now that I understand my disease, because I didn't for a long time, I saw that all of those things were there in place before I even picked up the drink. But for the most part, when I found alcohol, it was a solution for my problem. My problem was the way that I thought. I was just completely self-absorbed, self-centered, running the show with what I believed, you thought, I thought. Very ego-centered, very in my mind. And I made a lot of decisions based on that, and I put myself in a position to be hurt. And then so round we go. And I did that for, even before I drank. And then when I found alcohol and other substances, and I used other things, too, besides substances to fix or to, as a solution for what I suffered from. And I didn't know that, so my life became extremely unmanageable because I was, I was living an alcoholic life. So I absolutely qualified to be here. I drank and drugged for a lot of years. I spent a lot of time in AA in the back of the room reading The Shade, not knowing, understanding what those steps meant. I didn't read the big book, and then when I finally did, because I guess someone along the way suggested it, and I did understand that that book was written for me. I remember the first time I read the doctor's opinion, I threw the book across my bedroom of my father's house. I threw the book across the room because I was like, I couldn't believe that all those things were written. Like, I felt like it was written with me in mind. But yet, it took a long time. Like, it really, for me, I needed to suffer, and I needed for somebody to explain exactly what this program was about, and how to apply it practically in my life. So that's kind of what I'm going to talk about. I don't really need to tell you about all the things I did when I was out there. All I know is, I mean, if anybody's sitting in this room, you know how it goes. It gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse. And then, you know, life essentially was too difficult for me to lead. I had a pretty decent life if you looked on it from the outside. You know, I had managed to, you know, I took a hostage, as they say, when I was 22 years old. And I still am married to that guy today. So, you know, because I had a stable individual in my life, like I had things, you know, I had a house and I actually had a job from time to time. I managed to get through school. Yeah. I was pretty much unemployable. When I got here, my life was completely a wreck. On the outside, like I said, it looked okay. I managed to get myself showered on a regular basis, but I got to the place where I couldn't do anything without drinking, and I couldn't do anything when I was drinking. So, and I started every day with a drink and a drug, every single morning. I couldn't get my daughter out of the crib before I got right. So it was pretty awful. So my back was against the wall one more time, and I got sent away to rehab. My husband took the keys, took the kids, said, call me in 28 days. I'd been there before. In fact, I think I went to every outpatient program on Long Island. And I went to a couple of rehabs and detoxes and what have you, and I tried to do it on my own a bunch of times also, to no avail. So this time, I don't know, like I said, if I was done. I don't know if I had heard the message long enough that finally I was willing to listen. I'm not really sure why. It was just my journey. I went away for a long time. It was by no means the answer. In fact, I actually got, I used drugs while I was in that place where I went away. But I went to, I knew that the answer was in the big book, so I started to seek out big book based meetings when I was up there. And I had to call my sponsor three times before she was willing to pick me up. Like, I got her number from someone, and then I had to call her three times, like, to show that I was really willing. She said, all right, well, call me back at this time, and then call me back at that time. And then, so, she came and picked me up. She took me to this, like, you know, really, it was, like, really serious big book meeting up north. And let's see what she said. Oh, she was telling me, she was saying all kinds of stuff to me. She was telling me what she was like, what she told me, what she did. She was telling me how she lives today. And it wasn't so much what she was saying as much as what she had this, like, air about her. Like, you can't fake it. You know, when you really have God or you have a solution, a spiritual solution, you can't really fake that. And she just had the stars in her eyes, you know, and I didn't want to interrupt her. I was afraid I was going to miss something. And I even, like, I just listened to whatever she said. And she began to take me through the book and through the steps. And we did it kind of a little bit of a different way than people do it around here. But, you know, it worked. And, you know, if it works, great. If you go through the book, you know, that's the solution. So I just grabbed on. You know, I wanted what this woman had. She had this ease about her. Like, I couldn't sit in my own skin for 30 seconds. Like I said earlier, I was so uncomfortable all of the time, my whole life. I thought that was normal. So some of the things that we did, the first thing, you know, she told me to read was the doctor's opinion. And I said to her, I read that before, many times. She said, we'll read it again. She said, put on a new pair of glasses, you know, and take a look, see how you can apply it to, you know, to your life. So I read it again, and then we talked about powerlessness. I learned that I suffered from an allergy, you know, an abnormal reaction to alcohol when I put it in my body, and that how it triggers the phenomenon of craving, what it talks about in the doctor's opinion. And so even on those days when I can control my drinking, I can't control my thinking, and that I'm just thinking of nothing else. The thought that crowds out all other thoughts. I'm obsessed with the idea of getting high and drunk. I'm obsessed with it. So even when, you know, like after I put it in my body, even that night, because there were times when I had that control, that semblance of control. I wasn't convinced I was an alcoholic. You know, like I would put something in my body. You know, some nights I was a complete lunatic, but other days I could have two or three drinks. And, you know, but what I realized was that it was in my mind. It just became obsessed with, when's the next time? How can I get it? How can I get over on it? How can I fit it in? What can I switch it to? You know, all the things that it talks about, like in More About Alcoholism. I tried all those things. I laugh when I read that. Like, I tried every single one of those things. you know, and more, because I don't think there was as many other substances out there when the book was written. If they were, I bet you they'd be in there. So we talked about powerlessness, and she asked me to talk about powerlessness in regards to drinking and not drinking. You know, how am I powerless in other areas of my life? Then we talked about unmanageability, and we read some more of the book, and I said, well, my life is manageable. And she said, she gave me a little assignment. She said, go back and she said to me, how free do you want to be? That's how far I want you to look back. I want you to look deep inside and tell me about what your life was like before you even picked up a drink. And you know, how was it manageable? And I realized that my life was completely unmanageable and had really nothing to do with the drinking. Like, at the end it did, but not during the whole course of my, you know, teenage years and my 20s. Like, I was always unmanageable. I had no discipline. I had no structure. I wasn't taught any of that stuff either, but is that, like, can I blame that on my parents for the rest of my life, you know? I led my life from my own thoughts without really understanding what else was going on anywhere else. And that made my life unmanageable. I set up every situation which I was angry about, every single one, I set that ball rolling. And I didn't see all that until I put it on paper. And I'd lost jobs, cars, I never held anybody accountable for anything, I never asked for money back when I lent it out. You know, like, all these things, you know, why? Because of my thinking. Because it was all, you know, it all tied together. You know, because I didn't want to piss you off, or I didn't want you to not like me, or, you know, it was all based on my thinking. So my life clearly was unmanageable, not to mention, like, I had been fired for jobs for stealing drugs, and, you know, I mean, I failed my nursing boards 3 times. I'm not stupid. I'm actually pretty smart. I went to school for nursing. I failed my boards 3 times. Why? Because I never prepared for them. You know, and then, like, the next time would come up and I would pay the $500 and I wouldn't study. You know, I failed again. Like, that's unmanageable. So, but I didn't see that. I didn't see that when I was stuck in my alcoholic life, you know. Like, I didn't see any of that truth. Step 2. The double burden, you know. Like, do I have a God? Do I believe that there might be a God? I read We Agnostics in the big book. It gives you all these examples of why we should believe, like how it's just a good idea just to be a little willing, maybe. At this point in my sobriety, my sponsor asked me if I had any prayer routine. I don't know, I had a few months sober or whatever. And I was praying. I did what I had to do to remember to pray, because I never prayed before I got, you know, to this place. So I put signs up in my room, like on my nightstand, pray. My bathroom mirror, pray. My bedroom door, pray. And I tried to get into a routine. And just simply, you know, I kept it real simple. And I tell my sponsees too at this point, keep it simple. Because I didn't really come to believe until I was down here. You know, I just kept it real simple in the beginning. Please help me. Thank you. And I was willing. I was willing to believe, because honestly, at this point, I had no choice. You know, I was clearly spiritually bankrupt when I got into program. Like, I had really exhausted all avenues of trying to do it my way, and was willing to believe that someone was going to help me. The second burden of step 2, did I believe I was insane? You know, I didn't. So I had to really look at that. Like, what does that insanity look like in my life? And, you know, we talk about doing the same thing over and over. If you've been in AA, you heard that saying. Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. I put it on paper. I wrote out all these ways I'm insane, doing that same thing over again and expecting it to go differently. With drinking, with not using God, with not using AA, with not doing the steps, with knowing that it works for some people and not doing it. Or, you know, saying this is the only time, this is just one more time. How many times have I said that? This is it, just this one more time. You know, it's clearly, if that's not insanity, you know, and they talk about it in the big book, they give these examples, you know, of doing the same thing over and again. And then what's even more insane than that is knowing it's going to be bad. Knowing it's going to go down and saying, you know what, that's where the power, it's like all tied together. Like, I had no choice. I believe that today. Some of the things that I did when I was out there, like, you know, like I share this in AA because it's ugly, but it's my truth. And the reason I share it is because I sat in the back of AA rooms judging the woman up there sharing about how she used when she was pregnant, and I did that. I didn't do it till 10 years after sitting in this rooms, you know, judging everybody. And then when I got pregnant with my second daughter, I could not stop. I could not stop. I was completely powerless. I don't hate myself for that today. Like, I can't say that I don't regret it, but there's no shame attached to that. I know that I was a sick individual. And could I be here? Like, if I hadn't gone through this work, standing here with a woman of grace and dignity and tell you that, you know, I'm the best mother that I could be today and I made a mistake because I have a sickness. It's like a miracle that I have that attitude about it. Anyway, I always share that. Because somebody out there could be, you know, like, hanging on to that, you know. That was not a choice. I would kill for my children. Coming up on my favorite thing, and I only have 5 minutes left. Step 3. Step 3, to me, they're all important. But step 3, I love step 3. Because I didn't understand step 3. I would read the steps, 1, 2, 3, you know, like sitting in the back of the meeting, or who can take me through step 4? You know, like I had no idea what my will was. I had no idea how to turn it over. How could I turn it over when I didn't know what it was? So when we read that part in the big book and how it works, where it talks about the actor, I love the analogy. I think that there's also better ones out there. I mean, a lot of people talk about a lot of different things. When we talk about ego and self-centeredness, and we are the root of our troubles. You know, I love the look on my sponsee's face when I read that one line out of the big book. So we believe we're the root. You know, we're the self is the root of our troubles, and we cannot entirely get rid of self without His aid. So we suffer from these really ginormous egos, and ego is I'm down here, so I'm not good enough. I am unworthy. She's so much better than me. He's so much better than me. I could never measure up. All that's ego too. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. You know, or I'm up here, like, oh, I'm better than them. I can't learn from this person. I can't, you know, I can't get anything. I know what this person's thinking anyway. You know, like, we could have a whole conversation before you even walk in the door. Mm-hmm. In my mind. It's so true. And some of the way that I had to, like, look at that in my life. So, like, what was I doing? Like, how was my ego running the show? I always know where I'm going, but I'm always lost and late. I never look up directions because I know where I'm going. I tell you where to go. You know, get out of that lane. Get out of this lane. I looked at it in my workplace. I could run circles around you. I was always leaving late because, God forbid, I left. You know, like, how could the place function? I got fired. You know, they don't need me. In my relationships, you know, like, my husband's sitting on the couch. He's not giving me what I need. I'm not asking for it either. You know, and now I'm resentful. So, let me think of some other examples because it's important. I love this ego talk. It was so mind-boggling for me to learn about all these things. Like, I had to, like, really take a good look at myself, you know, like, and how I did it. How am I doing at work? How am I doing in my relationship? How am I doing it with my friends? You know, like, I might make plans with you, and I'm making plans with you, and I'm not asking you if you like this person or if whether you want to do something together, but I don't care. Why? Because it's all about me. And even when you're feeling, like, unworthy or not good enough, you're thinking about you. So how are we to be of use to anybody? How can God even penetrate that? It's completely all, when it's completely all about us. So, like, unless you do a proper step 3, you might as well just skip the rest. Because if you're doing a step 4 based in ego, you're going to write down the same bullshit stories you've been telling yourself and everybody else your whole life. So I truly believe that's a crucial, crucial, crucial step. And for me, I had never really done that. I had never understood will, ego, any of that stuff. And so the work I had done before, because I had done the steps. I was suffering. I was sick. I see so many people in AA today who have done the steps and still are sick and suffering. And it's sad. It really is, because what you get from doing this properly is so much better than anything I had out there when I was using and drinking. Like, there would be times where I think, oh, well, I never want to give this up because it feels so good. You know what? It does feel good. Getting lit feels good. I will not deny that. I can go back and be like, oh, yeah, that felt good. No question. But what I feel today is 10 times better than that. I had no idea what I was missing. I was completely shut off from real life. I was living in a complete lie. Delusional at best, honestly. And living that way and infecting everybody around me. Like that tornado. And what I have today is the ability to be present. I feel joy. I know what that word means today. I don't know if you guys know what that means, but I know what it means. And it feels amazing. Better than anything else back there. I always like talk about the old me and the new me because I am completely different. And it says in the big book, after step 10, no later vicissitude has shaken us. I have that in my life today. I can really bank on that. You know, there are things I have to do to maintain it. No question. You know, because what happened to me once I finished going through these steps, I had a conscious contact. I began to feel it right here at step 5, just like it says in the book. I started right after step 3, a beginning was made. After step 5, I felt it. I was starting to walk hand in hand with my Creator. It's all, what it says in there is actually what happened to me, and it actually happens to all the women I work with. It's like really ridiculously a miracle. I'm truly a believer. And then I see people smiling around the room because I know they get it. They got it. They're with me. And like I come here because people here are speaking my language. If you don't know what I'm talking about, stick around and do it. Do it right. Because when you do it right, it is so amazing. It is so amazing. And it's worth it. And all the reasons you don't have to do it right now, it's just bullshit you're telling yourself. So, I'm going to let you guys share. Notice how nobody around here raises their hand when the speaker's done.